get there. If not, I'll probably preach it some Sunday night coming up. But in the meantime, turn to Mark chapter 10. I'll be reading out a New Living Translation tonight. Mark 10. If you're when you're there, say there.
There.
Well, that wasn't there. That was oh boy.
Well, put me to shame. Let's swerve, girls. Good job, guys. There.
All right. Well, sounds like most of us are there. If you need a Bible, there's one in front of you.
There.
All right. Here we go. Verse 46. Here we go. Then they reached Jericho. That's Jesus and his entourage. They reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, so they got into town, they hung out in Jericho, who knows how long, it doesn't say. And now they're on their way out of town. A large crowd followed Jesus and his people. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 48, "Be quiet!" Many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder. You know, sometimes you just gotta shout a little bit louder than your neighbor. You know, they do that at the football game. And then we do it here in church, we're like, oh, shut up. I've seen too many churches that have signs on their, as you walk into the sanctuary. You're not walking into the sanctuary. We expect you to be quiet. I'm thinking, it's a good thing they don't do that in sports things. We expect you to be quiet. No, in church we're supposed to have people making noises. Did you know in Africa they want the babies to cry? Because then they know they're alive. So hopefully I don't make you cry. Maybe the Holy Spirit will, right?
I got your shoes.
There you go. But they said, "Be quiet!" Me and the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, you don't have to shout to have Jesus hear you, but it doesn't hurt sometimes. Jesus heard him. He stopped and said, "Tell him to come." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up!" They said, "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw his, there lost that, his identity. He's tossing his identity to the side, threw aside his coat, jumped up and ran and came to Jesus. I'm not sure who was leading him, but someone was leading him through the crowd. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see. He followed Jesus down the road. I'm believing, still believing, that we have too many glasses in the house. I still want to see a pile of eyewear. I want to see that without wearing eyeglasses. I've been praying long enough. So tonight I'm going to prophesy later that we're going to drop these eyeglasses and we'll be able to have to get new driver's license. Because we won't have eyeglasses or we won't have anything to help us see better because of the Holy Spirit. And so all through the Bible is about God's eyesight. But what I want to talk about tonight is this man called Bartimaeus. Here's Jesus walking into the Jericho, and it's not his first time going to Jericho. Because there's another story. There's something about a place where Jesus loves to meet people. There was another man he met in Jericho. Who was it? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up on the sycamore tree. He was small like you. You don't look too impressed. Can I call you Zacchaeus from now on? No. But the thing about it, Jesus will meet you where you're at, but sometimes he wants you to come to where he's going to be at. See, people will say, well, I don't want to drive someplace to meet Jesus. He can meet me in my home. I don't have to go to church. Well, he can meet you at home, but guess what? It's more fun when there's a crowd. It's a whole lot more excitable when you get born than just you and yourself, because so many times God wants to do something great. But a lot of times he wants you to meet up with other people because it's not about you anyways. See, the thing about it, when Jesus walked into the Jericho one time, there was a man who was small. He had to climb up on the tree. He goes, hey, there's Jesus. See, they both shouted. They both shouted at Jesus to get his attention. The thing about it, there's times that you have to do things to get the attention of Jesus. And you just can't sit there on your duff expecting God to move when you're not willing to do what he asked you to do. Or even like he told Gideon, just get off your duff and do it. Go in your own strength. And so many times we're waiting for God to move, and he's saying, why don't you move first? And guess what? You moved first. You came tonight. Yeah. Praise God, it's not 18 below anymore.
Yes.
You know, like I told somebody earlier today, I planned this week of prayer in February because it's not as cold as in January. Then it ended up being the coldest week of all here. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And the thing about it, when I was planning this, the Lord says there'll be fire and ice. I didn't know he meant the temperature would be ice and we'd be on fire. So praise God, in the middle of the winter, we can be on fire for God. I'm telling you, there's something about getting out of your little area and saying, I want to go where Jesus is at.
That's right.
I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. Well, I don't like big crowds. Who cares? Jesus always drew a crowd. But when he got done preaching, the crowd was dispersed. But he has something for you. See, he had something for Zacchaeus. See, these two people are on totally different things. Blind Bartimaeus was a beggar. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Beggars, a blind beggar didn't have much. He had his cloak, and that's about it. And somebody to lead him. Zacchaeus, he was well off. He was a tax collector, and not just a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. And he's like, I got money. Because he was so short, it reminded me of a little chihuahua dog. You know, they're really not dogs. Personal opinion, Jerry. Casey's a little on the cute side of a little dog. But the thing about it is that Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree and he yelled at Jesus. He had everything. He had everything going for him, but he knew he was missing something.
God.
That's right. That's why he was missing. He was missing God. Good job. Way to go, parents. But the thing about it is that he knew who could be. And so Jesus said, hey, Zacchaeus, you come down. And he had supper or lunch or brunch or whatever you want. They had inexpensive eggs. Yeah. So they broke open some eggs. They had scrambled eggs. No bacon, though. Bummer. I'm glad I'm not Jewish because I miss my bacon. But the thing about it is that Jesus had a different word for Zacchaeus. And for John, for blind Bartimaeus. So now, he's traveling through Jericho. He comes out of Jericho, and here comes blind Bartimaeus, just sitting there, minding his own business. He's probably heard about Jesus. Maybe he heard about Zacchaeus. He's like, wow. And the blind guy's like, I can't climb a tree. I have no clue. I'm not climbing a tree. See, the thing about it, the way you get attention of God is going to be different than anybody else. You're not supposed to climb a tree. You might just sit there and yell. Or maybe you're supposed to climb that tree and say, hey, Jesus, I'm up here. I'm the first airplane. I'm up here, Jesus. And so the thing about it, here he is, blind Bartimaeus, sitting on the road, and he's hearing the crowd, and he's hearing Jesus. What would you do? See, even in the midst of a crowd, you can be totally off by yourself and miss out on what God has. Or you can be a part of what's going on. These people follow me. The crowd grew while Jesus was in this city. And all of a sudden, are you ready? He yelled. What are you going to do to get God's attention? What are you willing to do? Well, you did part of it. You came out on a Friday night. There are either one or two things. You really love God, or you're crazy enough to believe God is going to move on your behalf. Because I think revival isn't coming. I believe it's already here. And the thing about it, the question about it is, do you want to be a part of it? And so here he is. He's sitting on the road. He's hearing what's coming along. And he's yelling, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. He's calling forth mercy. I don't know about you. That blindness is one thing I do not want to lose. I do not want to lose my eyesight. I like looking at things. I enjoy nature. You know, hearing, I like that too. I don't want to lose any of my senses. But the thing about it, I love seeing things. And so, we don't know how long he's been blind. We don't know if he's been blind since birth or before birth. Or after birth, we just know that right now he's blind and he can't see. And he's getting dragged around by somebody. See, they call him blind Bartimaeus because that was his identity. See, so many times we'll grab onto an identity that is not of God. Well, I'm a Norwegian. I don't speak up in church. I'm quiet. Why? Why claim something that God didn't call you to become? Well, you know, I'm just a stubborn Dutch, I think they say. Why claim something that God's called you never to become? You know, I'm Irish. I know, so I'm supposed to fly off the hammer with a temper. Ah! Why claim that identity? Well, my parents were a drug addict, so I guess I want to be a drug addict. Why claim that identity? Well, you know, my parents had high blood pressure. I guess I better start stocking up on high blood pressure medicine because it just runs in the family. You don't have to claim those things. You don't have to claim sickness. You don't have to claim death. You don't have to claim poverty. You don't have to claim. It's not your identity.
Yeah.
But other people will say, well, he's a drunk. He's always going to be a drunk. He's alcoholic. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. God can change things in a moment. The question is, do you want it? A lot of times, we don't want it because that means there's a responsibility to go with it. But here's the identity. Blind Bartimaeus had the identity. He had a false identity. In the American culture, there's a lot of false identities. You know, the Vikings have one. They think they're a Super Bowl champ, but they're not. Probably never will be, so... it's going to be okay that if you pass away and they don't win a Super Bowl, just remember they let you down when you're alive. They invite them to your funeral, they'll let you down again. But identities. We love doing identities. The politicians do always identity. Well, I'm just a this little, this is who I am. I'm not going to change. I've had people say that. This is the way I am, Frank. I'm not going to change. Well, if you're not willing to change, God's not going to change you. And that's going to be your identity. And so many times we hang on to our identity. We love our identity. Well, this is the way I am. Stop claiming the identity. You're not who the world says you are. You are greater than that. You're more powerful than that. And so here he is. He's crying out. And they're saying, blind Bartimaeus, hush, be quiet. Calm down. You're getting too excited about Jesus. Anybody ever tell you that? You're too excitable. When you preach, Pastor, you just get too excited. If you knew where I was 30 years ago, 40 years ago, You'd be excited too that God would use somebody like me. Because you know something? Throughout the Bible, I see God use murderers, all these different people throughout the Bible. And then I look at my life and I'm like, you know, I'm the last of the last in my clan. I wasn't the smartest knife in the drawer. You know, I was just excited that I graduated from high school. Asked me what my GPA was, and I was like, I don't know. They just let me go to the next grade. Then I get to college. What was your GPA? And then in college, they started me off with the lowest of the lowest classes, where you had to pay for a class and never got credit for it. Because you needed all this other stuff to make sure you're smart enough to get into college. See, if you knew where I came from, you'd be excited too. Well, God, I guarantee you, you all have a story, and you should all be excited where God's taking you from, and where you're going at, and where you're at today, and where you're headed.
Yeah.
But so many times, we're like, well, I'm saved, that's good enough. No, look what happened. Look what's taking place, and you should be the most excitable Christian in the church, in the city. You know, it should be like Casey when Jerry comes home, all excitable. You know, like those little puppies get excited when you come home. Just don't get too excited. We don't need messes on the ground.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, here he is. He's shouting, say, Jesus, I want you, I want you. Well, you're singing too loud. Pastor, you don't know how to sing on key. Take that up with God. He's the one that created this voice. If you want him to change my voice, you pray. He changed my outfit, huh, Gary?
Yep.
That's right. But God there did it. And so the thing about it, keep singing, keep shouting, keep going after God, get his attention. Because you know why? There's going to be people, there's going to be things that will come in your life that says, stop. It's okay to go to church on Sunday morning, and that's good enough. You're going to church on Monday night? They have prayer? That's weird. You're going back again on Tuesday? Is that something? Are you okay there? You're going, well, Wednesday's normal. I guess that's fine. You're going Thursday? You're going on a Friday night? Yeah, where else would I want to be? The hottest place in town. The greatest place in town. The most, you know, the local tavern, the local restaurant, they serve up the wrong spirits. We got the right spirit here. And I'm telling you, people will tell you, calm down. You're getting too crazy for God. You shouldn't be that excitable. Oh, you're going to start giving to the church? All they want is your money. You know who else wants your money? Your kids and your grandkids.
Right.
Trust me.
Amen.
You want some money? Didn't you ask for some money to buy some groceries today and stuff? Yeah.
To buy your groceries.
Well, aren't you going to eat? So are you going to eat it? Okay. But the thing about it, everything wants your money. Guess what? If, you know, you go to Walmart, you just don't walk out. I mean, we almost walked out on paying that one bill when we went out to eat that one time. Yeah. But everybody wants your money. But guess what? It's not about money. It's about the heart. See, people will tell you, be quiet. And then all of a sudden you get these voices in your head. If you give that money, what if the car breaks down? If you give that money, you won't have money in the gas to get there and back. If you give that money, you won't be able to, you know, you're going to help that. Those are lies. You know, did God really heal you? How have you ever had that put in your head? A lot. See, the devil will come along and also say, you know, you're too sore to go to church. Where else are you going to get prayer? No one's knocking on your door. Knock, knock, knock. Hello, I'm the prayer team from the city. I mean, I don't want the city to pray for me anyway. But the thing about it, I'm just telling you now, there's when you get excited about what God's doing in your life, not everyone's going to be excited as you are. So you need to be careful who you tell at first. How are you doing, Micah, after Tuesday night? Wasn't that great? Well, it was powerful, wasn't it? You want more, don't you? You came to a good place tonight. No, that was Wednesday night. No, that wasn't Tuesday night. He was laughing before he hit the ground. That was great. That was so awesome. But the thing about it, that he didn't care. And now he's like, I want more. See, the thing about it, they said it, be quiet. It has two definitions that we could go with. One, they could tell him, pipe down. The other one, they could have restrained him. Like, wow, he's getting crazy for Jesus. We got to pull a straitjacket on him type thing. Like I told you, friend, you hang out with me, people are going to start talking. That's not a bad thing. But the thing about it, keep it up. And guess what he did? He didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I guess I'm just too radical for Jesus, and I'm going to go hide. No, what he did is what we all should do. When the devil comes in and tries to steal your healing, when the devil comes in and tries to curse you or whatever, or when people come in, guess what you do? You double down. You know the old saying? You got double dog dare you. What you do, he shouted even louder. I'm telling you, when things come at you, you just do another step on it. Just keep plowing through. Because you keep yelling, you keep doing the right thing. Because you know why? There's a man who's walking into the room. He's here tonight. And guess what? He's going to walk by you, and he hears your cry, and he's going to touch you tonight. Yeah. Because the why? Because he's going to see if you really want him or not. See, the thing about it, we get all excited on Sunday night. Sunday night was great, yeah. By Friday night, we're like, Lord, I'm tired. Guess what? I am not tired this week. This is funny because a lot of times when I pray for people, I told my wife this. I'll pray for people. I don't feel a thing. I don't feel heat. I don't feel electricity. I don't feel a thing. And so one day I was complaining to God. I go, God, why don't I feel these things? I mean, I want to feel your power. He goes, if I let you feel all the power flowing through you, you'd be laid out for 2 weeks. So instead of me getting tired, guess what? I'm more ramped up today than I was on Sunday night. And the thing about it, it's just going,
oh boy.
I got two sermons. I've done that before.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, see, the thing about it is that God's wondering, you showed up on Monday night. Oh, that's fine. Then you showed up another night. Are you really that hungry for God? Are you willing to cry out once again, God, I want more of you? And guess what? When you shout even louder, guess what? People will sometimes say, God, you're getting too loud still. You're hurting my, I don't care. You move all the way. In his issues, he shouted to God. Don't wait till everything is good. Don't wait till everything's perfect and normal. You do it in the midst of your issues. You do it in the midst of your problems. You shout to God and say, God, I want more of you. I need you. We don't know what he was shouting. Well, we do know a little bit. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Yes.
We need God's mercy. His mercy. And then, he goes louder. Now, son, here comes Jesus. Tell that guy, come. He did not call him blind. Jesus will not call you by your issues. He'll never call you by your issues. Your issues are done away in the kingdom of God. They're no longer issues. You overcome them because you're a new creation. He looked at Bartimaeus. We're not going to call him blind anymore because God's ready to touch him. He looked at Bartimaeus and said, hey, send that guy over. He's yelling for me. And so they, what did he do? He goes, me? Huh? What? Would God really want to? Would Jesus? No. He popped up. He took his cloak, threw it to the side, and goes, I'm after Jesus. Two things this cloak stood for. One, it was their like bartering thing. It's like, it's what they owned. It was their identity. And in that culture, if you had to beg on the road, they would give you a certain cloak. So it was their identity. So they knew that he had a right to beg. It's like here in town that they had to go to the city hall to get permission to go to door to door so they know who's in town. See, the same thing here. They go, here's your cloak. And what he did, he goes, I'm taking off my cloak because I know what's about to happen. You got to take off that identity when you come to see Jesus. He goes, I am done with claiming that I'm blind. Stop claiming what God never gave you. Stop claiming what the devil gave you. Well, I have this horrible son. No, he's not horrible because all kids are what? A blessing from the Lord. I'm telling you right now, when Jesus is going to call and he's going to say, come on! And you need to lay this thing on the side and say, I am no longer what the doctor told me. I'm no longer filled with all these diseases because Jesus is touching me. And I'm going to be set free. And then all of a sudden, Jesus sees him face to face. He goes, what do you want? Think about that. Think about that one more. Tonight, Jesus is going to ask you, and I will ask you, what do you really want? Guess what? He wants to satisfy the desires of your heart. Did you know that? He wants to bless the desires. Well, he just wants to give me what I need. Really? So why do you have a car? You don't need a car. Well, I got to get back and forth to work. No, you don't have to work. You can walk to work. I did it for years. Out in Arizona. Walked everywhere. Well, that's Arizona. That's not here. You don't need a car. You can bicycle it. Well, it's winter. I rode my bike in the winter when I was in college. You can do it. See, God wants to bless the desire of your hearts. What is the desire of your heart? What is it? And guess what? If it's a desire of your heart, God wants to give you your desire of your heart, and you will happen. See, some of you have been saying, well, I don't think God wants to bless me. See, that's that voice keeping you away from God. That's the voice. Guess what? I know God wants to bless me. I'm blessed and highly favored because I am a child of God. I'm telling you right now. He's saying, what do you really want? What do you want? I know what I want. I'm going to say, God, give it to me. Guess what? It's working. I'm more alive than seeing people touched by the Holy Spirit this week. People popping up out of those chairs that they just have to take a long time to get out of. Now they're like Jack in the Box. I'm telling you right now, what's that desire? Is it to be completely healed? He can do it. Well, I'm going to die. I'll get my full healing. Why wait to heaven to be blessed by God? Why have earth miserable? Because what? God never created us to live in a miserable life. He created us to live a blessed life.
Yes.
He created us to live a life, to be a blessing to others. And so my desire is to see my kids grow strong in the Holy Spirit. My desire to see my wife take off in what God's called her to do. My desire is see this place explode where every room is full. On Saturday mornings, Roger, and Sunday mornings, and Wednesday nights, full of people who don't know Jesus, who's coming to know Jesus. My desire to see Dodge Center radically reborn. We're getting there, y'all. Wow. 3 years ago, this would never happen. Now look at it. You guys are more hungry for God now than you were 6 months ago. And guess what? We're more hungry too. Cletus, God's about to do something in your business. The last two times I prayed for you, and guess what? You start making plans to expand. Because you've been a man of integrity, a man of honor, a man that has loved his family, and you've gone through a lot, but I'm telling you right now, get ready to expand that. Well, I don't know who to hire. God's going to show you who to hire. And you will need an office worker. Somebody who's a whole lot more organized than you. I'm not saying you're a horrible organizer. I just know usually those who are good at their job are usually not well organized. And those who are well organized, they keep everything running smoothly. But, you know, if you want somebody to get, usually very seldom can somebody do both jobs. Doing the job itself and also doing the office stuff. Most people need somebody in the office to run the office. Because guess what? I guarantee you, you hate doing the paperwork, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much. Just look at my work truck. That's my office.
I've seen your work truck. I've been in your work truck.
Yeah? There ain't no room for you.
Like I said, but the thing about it, prepare to make room for four more guys. Get ready, because God's going to explode just like that. It's going to be a tsunami. Because people will be looking for godly men to work under, who will honor them and respect them in their time. So get ready. So here he is. He throws his cloak away. He runs to Jesus. And he's like, saying, Jesus, Jesus, what's your desire? He goes, I want to see. And Jesus goes, okay, your faith has been healed. It's that simple. Your faith, go, your faith. And this is what happens. This is what happened. He didn't go off and went back begging. He stopped acting like what he used to do. So many times God sets us free and we're a new creation. Guess what? We go right back to the vomit like a dog. And slough it up. Because why? Because it's what we're used to. But here, you have to make a choice to say, you know something? I'm done going back to the vomit. And now I'm going after Jesus. The banquet. The good stuff. With pizza and pineapple. Right, Ben?
No.
But the thing about it is that well, let's get Doug on the subject. But here he is. He says, here he goes. And Jesus says, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Guess what? The next thing that takes place is when what the author writes is Jesus enters Jerusalem for the last time. For the Palm Sunday. Triumph and he's seeing Jesus. The cool thing about it, it's never too late to be touched by God. It's never too late. Never too late to be touched by what God wants to do. Never too late. I just want to talk about Jehu just for a moment. I'll expand on it probably February, March, April, May, on a Sunday night. Jehu was sitting there, and here comes a prophet. This is the part that I want to talk about tonight. Prophet Elisha comes and gives oil to another prophet. He goes, go and prophesy over Jehu, that he's going to take out Jezebel and his and her family. Or actually Ahab and his family. And all of his sons. And so he goes. And the thing about it, if you read the text there, it goes, when you, after you say it, open the door and run for your life. How about giving that message? Okay, this is my message. Bye. Boom, boom. I'm out of here. I want to live. And so he goes to the town he was in. Jehu is sitting around with his cohorts. And the prophet comes in and says, I have a word for you, commander. Jehu goes, which one of us? The gentleman goes, you. So they went into the back room. They shut the door. And he looks at him. He goes, Jehu, you've been anointed. You have a calling on your life to take out Ahab's family. And also, you're anointed to be king. There's already a king in town. There's already a king over Israel. And he grabs the flask of oil. He didn't dip his finger in it and splash him on the forehead. No, he grabs the flask and dumps it over his head. And then he opens the door and he's out of there. I don't know about you. If I all of a sudden dump oil on Roger's head, I probably want to run too. But the thing about it, he comes out all oily and stuff. I mean, guess what? When you're anointed by God, people can tell. When their anointing oil flows, people can tell. Why did Bartimaeus cry out to Jesus? Because he knew there was something different about Jesus. Why do people call you for prayer? Why don't they call somebody else? Because they know that you're anointed to touch the throne room of God. And at times you're like, all they do is call me for prayer. Oh, I know what this is. I guarantee you they're gotten themselves in trouble and they need prayer. Right? Because the only time you hear from them, that's the only time you hear from them. But they do that because you've been anointed by God, because they see a difference in you. And so here he is. He comes out all oily. And the guy goes, so what took place back there? I'm paraphrasing. And he goes, you know how prophets get, they get a little crazy. How many of you have had a crazy prophetic word over you? And maybe it's from me. And you're like, no, we don't receive it. But usually the prophets of God don't give you always the word that you want to hear, but the word that you need to hear. And so he comes out and he goes, well, you know how the prophets get to, they come in, they make a mess of things and they leave. And they go, well, no, but something else happened. Oh yeah, by the way, he just anointed me to be king over the nation of Israel, the northern. And right now, there's a king there. And they go, sweet, King Jehu, we love you, we bow down to him, and now you're king. They instantly did that. See, when the anointing comes on you, and God tells you to do something, you do it right away. Because you might miss out on what God has for you. And then, guess what? He goes and runs, and then, and I love this part. He goes and he conspired with those in the city to keep other people from going to Jezreel. And so he went to Jezreel. Guess who's at Jezreel? The king and the king's mama. Both of them he's been assigned to take out. And here he comes. And they go, here comes a guy with some entourage. They send people out. Now all of a sudden the king goes out. And he looks at the king. And the king goes, oh, I come in peace. You cannot make peace with sin. You cannot make peace with things that are trying to defeat you. You cannot make peace with a snake. You cannot make peace with the devil himself. You cannot make peace with demons. You cannot make peace with your identity that's outside of Christ. You cannot make peace with that because you'll always be in torment. When if you're trying to do things outside of what God has. So when he came and the king goes, oh, let's be friends. Oh, let's. I come in peace. And Jehu looks at him and says, you don't come. I don't come in peace. There's times that you just have to cut off everything. So I don't come in peace. And so the king all of a sudden turns around and says, I'm out of here. And guess what? Jehu's in his chariot. This guy needs to show me how to shoot bow and arrow. All right, okay, he's dead. I get that and stuff. But he's riding in his chariot, and he pulls back bow and arrow and shoots the arrow through the dude's back into his heart, and the guy slumps over and dies immediately. I'm not sure about that, but I'm going to take him hunting. He can go hunt me a deer. I mean, if he's good at doing that, And then all of a sudden, he's driving, and Queen Jezebel looks out and goes, hey, that looks like Jehu. He's driving like a man. When you're anointed by God, you're going to drive like a madman. You will not act normal. You won't speak normal. You won't say normal things. You won't do normal things. You are set apart for God. And so tonight, in a few minutes, we're going to have some worship music on, but we're going to open the altars. Maybe you are like blind Bartimaeus. You have an identity crisis. You know what God's called you, but you're hanging on to this. And God's saying, set that apart. You're not. I won't go there. You are not what the world says you are. And you're not what your spouse says you are. As good as your spouse can be, your identity does not come from your spouse. Your identity does not come from kids, grandkids, from your marriage or ex-marriage or whatever. That's not where your identity comes from. Your identity doesn't even come from your dog. Your identity doesn't come from what you do. And some of you are having a crisis with your identity right now. Because of what has been taking place in your life. Your past. And guess what? The devil will always call you by who you were. And God will always call you by who you are. You are not what the doctor says. So maybe that's you. And maybe you don't have that problem. Maybe you're God's calling you tonight and saying, and I ask that question, what do you want from God? What do you want God to do? What do you, and maybe you're like, God, I would really like this. Guess what? I'm going to pray. As long as it's biblical and lines up to God's word, we'll pray that way. I mean, now if it doesn't line up with God's word, we're not going to pray that way. We'll slap you first, and then we'll pray for you. Because the desire is not to get more things. The desire is to get more of God. And those things should draw you closer. Or maybe you got a word from God. God spoke to you, but you haven't acted on it yet. Because it looks impossible. You think about Jehu wasn't even remotely going to be king. He's just sitting there minding his own business. And then, how many of you have had someone pray for you, just minding your own business, and someone comes up and prays for you, and God touches you? Yeah. There's been people I've walked to in the chairs or the pews and said, God's got a word. But I'm telling you tonight, don't leave without getting prayed for. Because God's going to do something. And I'm excited. Because it's going to take me a little while to wind down tonight anyways. And so I'm going to challenge you. Where are you at on that? Maybe you're all three. Maybe you have to run with the dickens and act like a crazy man. I'm telling you, people should know that you've been touched by God. Everybody Jesus healed, everybody Jesus touched, everybody knew about. So we're going to pray. We'll have some music going through. But if you want prayer, altars are open.